Meeting number
154. Okay, we're going.
All right, I will call to order the Pacific City Joint Water and Sanitary Authority Special Workshop. It is September 22nd, 2020, it's 5 p.m., and we are meeting via the BlueJeans video teleconference call. I'll call the roll. Ann Price.
Here.
Cameron Gogas.
Here.
Tom Donahue.
Here.
For the record, Sean Carlton is absent, and we hope that he'll be able to listen to this at a later point. Item three is the electronic metering systems presentation that our authority manager is going to make. And before we have him start, I'd like to clarify that the purpose of the meeting is to have additional information given to us about the meters and so forth. This is not the time for us to be stating our preferences or debating the pros and cons of particular issues. We want to make sure that we have a full board present when we do that, and that will be at the October business meeting. So this meeting is informational only at this point. Kurt, do you want to start in?
Sure. I'd like to explain to the board that for this analysis, I sort of took a different view because things started evolving in a direction, whereas it certainly was going to make more sense for us to proceed with an advanced metering infrastructure system in a stepped approach. And an AMR implementation, which is the drive-by implementation, would be the first logical step for us to begin. Now, I see Michelle has joined us. So, hi, Michelle. So, with that said, this analysis summarizes much of the information that's been assembled to review our water metering alternatives. Each of the six water metering system manufacturers I provided website links to are considered to be the leaders in the industry. So at this point, I'd be happy to address any questions that any of the board members may have had regarding any of those manufacturers. Tom?
Per unit cost for each of the manufacturers. I didn't see that on the prospectus there, so
yeah.
What is a per unit cost?
Okay, the per unit cost is the cost per meter, and because the main things that are needed for us to go to an AMR system, which is significantly less expensive overall than an AMI system. So for us to get started with an AMR system, we'll just need a mobile radio unit, which would cost us about $6,000. And then, so the remainder of that cost...
That would be a unit that would be in the reading vehicle, the person making the... Correct.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
So, and so what I did do, and since I went over the 20-year comparisons for AMI with the board last time, I'm taking a slightly different approach this time. But I did get a breakdown cost for, in fact, I just remembered where I wrote it down, for the third most likely firm that would be able to provide us the system we want, and that would be... let's see. Oh, okay. It was on the front page. Yeah, the cost for a water meter from that third highest, I'm trying to avoid saying names, but if you look at the list, oh, it would be number...
one?
Number one is the one that I'm actually recommending. which is the one that I'll be getting into. I really narrowed it down to the two main options when it comes to overall cost. Oh, well, actually, I included the three products in the AMR implementation below. We haven't got there yet, Tom, so let's hold off on the cost at this point. So if there's a specific company you're interested in, I could answer that. I think I answered it in the email that I sent out about a couple of weeks ago. So and those were listed 1 through 1 through 6. I think 3 is the third one that I got pricing for meters and for radios, and they were significantly higher. I'll go through that discussion here pretty soon. As far as company goes, that third one I was referring to is the company I call sort of the Cadillac system, and previously had a question regarding that. And that's why I went out and got pricing on that system. These other companies that would be capable of doing it would also require a third-party system to conduct the AMI component of it, of the system. So they wouldn't be able to do it all by themselves. Company number 4, actually, they only offer network as a service, and they would actually propose contracting out to do all of our meter reading for us. It certainly doesn't appear that it would make sense for us to go down that path.
That would be very cost beneficial.
Yeah. Companies 5 and 6, those two companies are reputable meter companies, but they also don't focus in AMI products, and they would require us to go to a third party similar to iTron, in which I provided information for. But the cost would go up considerably by utilizing two separate companies.
Hey, Kurt.
Yes, Cameron.
With you going through all this and the companies and stuff, I mean, go back through the histories of the companies. Is there a more valid, that has a good history for troubleshooting and all this stuff, and they're staying more updated on their products?
I can vouch for several companies. Census is a reputable company, although I personally had experience with them where their customer service wasn't great. Mueller has a ton of experience in the waterworks industry, would be one of the most reputable companies to work with. Camstrup is a company that is sort of new to the water metering industry as a whole, relative to some of the other companies. But their background is in power and gas metering. And so they have a lot to offer as well. They're also a company that I think that I've looked closely at, and I have some information here on them. So really, out of the 6, I have detailed information on 3 companies. The remaining 3 didn't seem like viable options, so I didn't gather quotes from them. But again, there was one of those 3 companies offers only a cellular read system rather than radio. It relies on cellular service, and I don't believe that would work well in these parts.
Not here, yeah. Okay.
So
it's the AMR one that you prefer the
At this point, what I'm suggesting is whatever we do, we're going to have to do it in a stepped approach. And the first step would be to install radio read meters so that we could incorporate an AMR drive-by reading system. There's significant savings to be said for that, and I'll certainly get into that in a little bit.
Okay. Okay. Anna? I'm sorry, I jumped the gun.
No, you're fine. Anna?
Okay.
I gather from this, and tell me if this is part of, should come up later in your presentation, but I gather at this point we're talking about the recommendation to do the AMR implementation. And so something that you just said, I have two questions. The broader question is, we began this conversation saying that we were going to do the AMI program and that the AMR was the first step toward that. I'm feeling like there's a subtle change in the discussion here where it's not necessarily this case that AMI is going to follow the next year. Am I missing that, or is it still your thinking that we would do AMR 1 year and then upgrade it to the AMI in the following year? We're still looking at a total program.
I'm still looking at a total program. One thing I've discovered as I start putting together all this information to analyze the costs and the fine details and how we're going to procure this this system, it became apparent that certain things will change over time, even over a year's period. And I do still confidently believe that ultimately that we're going to want to move forward with an AMI system. And I would say as early as next year. But before we do that, I don't want to get the cart before the horse. I think that we should seriously look at successfully installing radio read water meters so that we can immediately start reading meters by mobile units and verifying that everything is working correctly. And then what it really comes down to is, I'm sort of doing the math in my head right now, but to move forward from an AMR to an AMI system, for the lowest cost units that I've looked at, it would be an additional $120,000.
Okay, so my second question has to do with the point at which we have an AMI system. We've started out with the AMR, Radio Red. If for any reason the AMI system were to malfunction or our computer connections in the community went down and we couldn't read these things day by day, is that radio read function automatically still available so that we have a backup way to read the meters?
Absolutely. And okay. Yeah, if we chose to do so, we could proceed with some of these systems. Some systems require you to actually install AMR prior to AMI, but if we wanted to, we wouldn't have to purchase the mobile reading equipment. And our only backup, if we lost some of our radio communications, would be to go out and manually read the meters as we do today. A better solution is to have the AMR system in place so that when you convert to AMI and have master radios collecting daily reads, at that point, if you weren't collecting data at a certain location, at least monthly, you could drive by that address and pick up the reading that way. So a lot of benefits to having the AMR in place first.
So the AMR is always there if our computer network in town goes away. We can always drive by in a truck with a radio, with this radio thing that we buy, and read meters that way.
I am making
And the backup to that is physical meter reading the way we do it today.
Correct.
So physically, like a base station, then.
Well, the base station is AMI, right. So the AMR, which would be the first step, would be the drive-by system. Mm-hmm. So if the AMI base station radio didn't capture a certain reading, for could be a number of reading, a car parked over a meter box or something, we could go out and collect that reading via automobile.
Okay.
So, Tom, back to you. I left you for a while. I'm sorry. Did I satisfy your concerns about the six major manufacturers? It was a little brief.
When we get into this, I'm still interested in per unit cost, but my question here, in reference to Ann's queries, is basically why, I still don't quite, in my mind, understand your reasoning why we would go to a radio system first and then the automated system.
Okay. I'll explain it this way, Tom. The radio system works for both AMR, drive-by, and AMI master radio read. So the advantage to going forward with AMR first is we can verify all the we can do the bulk of our installation, get these meters installed, get them working with the drive-by system that we drive by and get, and then that way if we choose, which I believe we will, a year or two down the road, to spend an additional $120,000 so that we could capture a lot of the other benefits, then when that system goes in place, we'll know that those radios are communicating effectively. So then if there's bugs to work out, the contractor would have to fine-tune their master radios so that they were collecting the data. But one thing I want to come back to, and I want to assure you that I will make sure that a system to be purchased would be compatible for both drive-by and master radio reads. I wouldn't want to invest in a system that could only be good for drive-by, and then we decide we want to move forward with AMI and find out that we can't. That won't happen. We'll make sure that doesn't happen.
Okay, let's say we follow your plan here, and once we are at the AMI part, these individual meters transmit on what, VHF, FM, or high frequency? Do you know?
It communicates through a non-licensed radio frequency.
Like CB or FM? All handheld?
Somewhat similar, a completely different frequency. They have various patterns in which they do it, frequency rates in which they do it. Some of that technical detail I'd have to study up on to provide you a great answer on that. Oh, go ahead, Tom.
Where my concern is the geography of our local area. We have an awful lot of hills and valleys and odd geographical features in our water district. So I'm thinking that because if you just a drive by, you're right in front of the house. There's no obstructions to reading or receiving the transmission from the individual meter, but to transmit back to the office, just off the top of my head, the more I think about it, I think it's a pretty practical way to look at it, is because of the unusual terrain and the various terrain geographically that we have in the PC area, that we may have to have some sort of a repeater or device on some of these hilltops, and that could, I think we're looking at a line of sight radio communication here. All the dips and valleys and geographical features, we may need some kind of a additional radio retransmitting device on one or two possibly hills or high spots in our district area.
Yeah, Tom, you're right on track. Both companies that I received quotes from have completed radio path surveys for our environment. They've been out here. They've reviewed our meter addresses. They've had a complete list of all of our meter GPS information. And so they've actually conducted that analysis. So I've got maps showing where they get good radio communication, where it's not so good. And when they propose their quote, they actually guarantee a certain percentage of reads based on that topography. And they've been able to verify that they do it. One of the suppliers or one of the manufacturers can do it with, I think it was a total of 4 repeaters. The other decided to do it with 3 master radio signals rather than repeaters. They utilize different radio technology to do that. But they both guarantee that percentage read rate when you convert to the AMI system. It would be part of their contract.
And this brings me to another thing about, I had a feeling that was the case, but because of our particular geographical situation. So that brings us to maintenance. As you know, we have lightning around here, and radio equipment especially is very susceptible to high-frequency noise created by high, you know, frequency spikes from lightning and that sort of thing. So is maintenance or emergency replacement of one of these repeaters, would that be our responsibility, or do we got to wait a week till a tech can get here?
At this point, it's something that, you know, I wouldn't be proposing that we're even purchasing yet at those master radio systems. We could certainly require them to provide us some kind of warranty replacement, but with those replacements, there's like, costs.
I'm thinking more like staff training for emergency placement of a device. But I'm thinking you could ask the vendor to, I mean, if it's a week, if we're talking about, you know, I'm not going to be so much worried about reading the meters if we have a tsunami. But if we have, you know, a fire in the area and one of these repeaters is damaged or destroyed, somebody running over one or who knows what, you know, I'm just worried about, I'm thinking that our staff is competent enough to replace one of these if necessary, I think. I understand enough about the devices that it wouldn't be that complicated, but we could request or see if the vendor is even open to such a suggestion.
I will look into that, Tom, and keep in mind that the drive-by radio read system won't require any master radios like that, so we can always fall back on that.
I'm still thinking these repeaters, it's going to be, you say, 3 for one vendor, 4 for another.
Mm-hmm.
That makes perfect sense in my mind, considering the geography. These are going to be expensive devices, too, you know, once we get to the AMI setup. So we're not talking cheap here, but I'll be willing to bet you we're talking $10,000 a copy.
Yeah.
Maybe half of that, but still, it's not
right.
Cheap.
It could add up, and it's something, as we get closer to moving forward with AMI, it's something that we'll take into account, and
okay.
And particularly when obtaining quotes.
Also, you could also do the trunking devices like they would use in the fire department. Instead of using like a repeater, you use your equipment wherever your equipment is, and you can bounce off your other ones that are out and available. Instead of using like a repeater stationary, where a trunking device, you can bounce off all your equipment.
I know that these manufacturers have put together, you know, their systems in a manner in which they can do it most cost effectively.
Okay.
If there's, I probably should get back sort of to the analysis report, I did want to comment that we had 701 water meters that have been installed within the last 10 years, with most of those being replaced around 2015. With that said, there's a remaining 747 meters that are over 10 years old and many that are considerably older than that. So we will be replacing some meters with some life left on them, but I really believe that when I start talking about what it costs us to read meters manually, the way we are now, compared to converting to AMR, AMR is probably, without a doubt in my mind, the most cost-effective way to read meters. With AMI, you're going to get a lot of bells and whistles, and you're going to get a lot of additional features, but it does come with a price tag. So that's why I've sort of looked at this step by step. Ultimately, if we move forward with an AMR implementation, the total project cost would be about $380,000 for us to do that. Now, if you look back at the status quo costs, for us to actually perform meter reading and collect meter reads, we spend $200,000 over 10 years, $20,000 a year for staff to go out and read meters. There's other benefits and costs associated with reading meters beyond that. With that said, we still have to go out and replace meters. The AMR system will certainly pay for itself. AMI, in my opinion, costs closer to what it would cost to manually read. And I said that in the last meeting. But AMR will be able to save us some money. So I've already sort of released. I apologize for not summarizing this in the report. But if you look at the first meter I'm proposing, it comes, the meter and radio costs add up to $290,000. The additional installation costs, plastic lids, and project management bring that up to $380,000. If we do nothing, we're going to end up spending $20,000 a year more in labor to read the meters, and we're still going to have to replace some additional meters in a less efficient manner. We're going to have to go out to each site individually to replace that meter. It's going to be a full trip there and back versus sweeping a neighborhood and replacing meters all at once. So with that said, our 20-year cost for status quo comes in about $700,000. I reported that at the last board meeting. AMR implementation, if we go with the least expensive system that I recommend, it would cost us $577,000 over 20 years. Significant savings. So with that said, I'm happy to answer any questions the board might have regarding manually reading, status quo, and those costs that I've shown, and the AMR implementation costs that I have shown.
So the first vendor there, you show $290,000 plus an additional $74,000 for installation and plastic lids, and another $16,000 for file interface. I'm just looking at your deal here.
Yes.
Are those additional costs, would they be the same for number two and number three vendors?
Yes, they would. That's a good observation. They are the same for all three. Installation would be contracted out separately. Plastic lids pretty much have to be installed where we have still lids on any of these systems.
So the each of these individual vendors numbers are for all 1,454 meters?
Yes, that's correct. I use the same numbers for all.
So $290,000 divided by 1454 would be about $200 an individual meter. Is that about what you penciled?
That's correct. through that first system, the meter would cost $127. The radio is $64 for a total of $190. So you're pretty darn close. Now, okay, that we're talking about that third competitor, this is probably an easier time for me to explain. The cost for that third, the highest shown meter, would be $147 for the meter and a radio of $189 for a total cost of $336 each. While you're calculating that, Tom, I'll address a question from Ann.
I'll just repeat the question I sent you in the email. Is if you could give us an idea of why that company is so much more expensive, because as I said to you in the email, it doesn't make sense that someone could have that much more of a cost and stay competitive in the industry. And apparently, according to you, this is a Cadillac company. So is it because the cost, it goes down as you have more hundreds of thousands of people in your system? Or how can you tell us why that company is so much more expensive?
Well, for one, I want to explain that number came from an actual invoice that I approved last year at my previous employer. That company actually was charging us $189 per radio unit. That's why we opted to quit buying meters from that company. Whether they would charge a large district or city that same amount, I doubt it. I do think that they provide volume discounts and they're not interested in providing smaller districts water meters. But I can't speak for them in that regard. But it does appear that they take a lot of pride in the way that they're collecting their data. I do know that that's a licensed frequency in which you have to, in which they absorb the cost for that licensed frequency, and so there was some cost for them, and I think that's probably partially why they charge more.
So if I could follow up on that with you, Kirk, so this figure that we're seeing here, actually all of these figures here, they don't represent true bids, actual figures for our job and our number of units and that kind of thing, because we have not gone into a competitive bidding process yet.
They're not bids, but they are informational quotes that both companies, the first two companies that I discussed at the board meeting, provided me quotes.
And I understand that, but I also have seen enough of these processes to know that you don't, it's kind of like when you go to try to buy a car. You know, the first price you see is not what you're going to be signing paperwork for 18 hours later.
Yeah, I get that.
So I want to caution myself to remember that I'm not going to get too attached to these numbers until we make a decision to move forward and we have actual bids in front of us. And there are going to be different, obviously. Tom has addressed the average per unit cost, but they're going to be different per unit cost depending on the size of the meter and the service and all that, right?
Yes.
So the other thing that, you know, you said something about in that regard to that third company, and it's not that I'm trying to talk us into anything. I just think it's incredibly important for us to be completely objective and collect the information and then go into the bidding process. And so that third company, you just mentioned that they had a licensed frequency.
Yes.
That I take to be the radio frequency that we've been talking about communicating back and forth. One of the things I've been aware of over my years on the board, and I'm even more aware of in this day and age, is the importance of information security. And if you have licensed frequency, that sounds more secure to me. We do not want to get into any kind of situation where radio communications with our infrastructure could be interrupted or eavesdropped on or controlled in any manner by anyone else. So what I'm wondering really when we get down to it is if there aren't some things like that with a company that, yes, may cost more, but may actually be seriously worth exploring in detail because of some potential advantages.
Well, I can agree to a point, but you have to recognize, for one, the confidential information in a water meter reading is just a number. There's nothing really confidential in that. So I wouldn't be too concerned about the confidentiality. As far as the security of the radio read system,
it's confidentiality I'm concerned about. I'm concerned about our communication within the authority. I'm not concerned about if somebody knows how many gallons of water I use. I'm concerned about access into our system through an unlicensed radio frequency.
But
there are security things we've talked about for years that we do not make public for good reason.
I understand that.
Probably one of them. So.
But no, this radio meter read system wouldn't be connected to any other data. We could perhaps download data, and if we progress to AMI, then a meter company would host our data, which is what drives up the cost for AMI. They actually commit staff time to download daily reports, that type of thing. But for AMR meter reading, that data is just strictly for collecting data from water meters and water pits.
Okay.
So security of that wouldn't be my concern. My concern would be the reliability of the read and the Mueller system. The low cost system is a very reputable waterworks company that has been collecting radio reads within the frequency that they're using for many years, and so it's a proven technology. But you would, if you wanted to go with a licensed system, it comes at a very significant cost.
Well, I'm not promoting anything. I'm just trying to, focus on some issues as you're talking that raise some concerns for me. So
okay.
I appreciate
okay.
you entertaining that.
All right. Tom?
Anne, you are reading my mind. Radio frequency transmissions are easily jammed. And it wouldn't be, like you say, the security aspect of it wouldn't necessarily be the data that would be a problem. Just like someone threatening to put something in our water supply, or did, we have procedures to protect the public and cut off that supply and go to another supply. Where in this case, what my concern for that would be, someone who may not understand this whole thing just decide to shut it down and do that by simply reading the frequency being transmitted and jamming it. Very simple thing to do. So it would still leave us with a backup of manually reading the meters if we had to. But if there was a way to have that transmission encrypted so that only the drive-by reader and our central system, when we went to AMI, was able to interpret it and be kind of, for lack of a better expression, jam-proof. That would be something to consider.
Yeah, understood. And, the questions I'm hearing in regards to this seem to be related almost entirely to the AMI master radio system. The drive-by reading units, basically when these drive-by meter reading units go down the street, they send out a signal that wakes up the water meter that's battery-powered, or the radio that's battery-powered. It then transmits a signal, the meter reading equipment gets that signal, and then it shuts it off, and it sits there idle. It doesn't transmit radio waves continuously. And it's
that's a good point.
And it's the same with when we do move forward with an AMI at some point, we have to understand that's not a continuous signal either. And so that...
We would send out a signal from the office, say, okay, folks, it's time to read the meters, start transmitting, correct?
Well, you know, when we get into AMI, we might have all sorts of special wishes that we'd like. We want to see what, you know, a customer could call and ask, why is my read so high? We could make a request and get the data reading right there on our desktop. But those are issues, I think, that we would have to address further down the road. And to be honest with you, I don't know how Census differentiates their mobile reading units from their AMI units. I just know the cost was tremendously higher.
Okay.
Did I name their name? I didn't mean to.
No, I don't think you did.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, you did.
It serves them right. They charge.
Tim has the idea that we really don't want to be speaking in terms of names of companies at this point.
It threw me off, yeah.
Tim, thank you for taking that into consideration.
Okay. So does the board understand that the total project cost is $380,000 to proceed with AMR? Because I didn't make it all that clear from the numbers I provide you. You have to add those together to get that. That would be the total project cost.
Well, once again, I'm not prepared in my head because I'm not used to doing business like this. I'm not used to knowing what the total project cost is until we've gone through a bidding process.
Thank you, Ann. That's exactly why I'm trying not to provide numbers, but you have to know what you have to expect it to cost something. And
that's
so
the ballpark.
These aren't set in stone numbers.
Yeah.
The only thing that's set in stone is the cost for purchasing radio read meters, which the City of Tigard did 2 years ago, and we have an opportunity to purchase meters at that price plus CPI for 2 years. So we will get into that discussion here pretty soon. It should be pretty straightforward. That's what I want to look into. That would be the only thing that would prevent us from going out and finding what the other systems are going to offer and propose. I'm confident that they're gonna propose more costly systems, which is why I'd recommend that we follow the lead of Tigard, who did all of that bidding to determine that this is the best price and the best system that we can get. So I'm not trying to shortcut. I'm just trying to get the best product for the best price.
What's our time frame of getting this going, rolling?
Well, as soon as we had board approval, I could start purchasing meters and contracting to have meters installed for us. I was hoping to do that this winter sometime. And then I would view that to get the most cost effective or the most least to get the least expensive quote for replacing the meters and installing new meters. If we're flexible on our schedule to where we agree that it could be done over a 2 or 3 month period, we could get a much lower price. I currently estimate that it will cost us about $30 per meter to install. If we do it ourselves and take a trip to go to each meter when they go bad, that cost is going to probably double because it's not as efficient as going down a street and replacing one right after another.
Well, you're just shutting down one line or whatever.
Yeah. So I did provide some costs for AMI. At this point, though, I think it would be premature. Ann is exactly right that we don't know what the costs are going to be when we decide to go down that path. What I have to make sure of, whatever AMR system that I decide or that we decide to move forward with, we have to make sure that it's capable of providing us the AMI that we would also possibly desire at some point. And both of these systems that I'm seriously considering would do that. Tom?
Reflecting Ann's concern about competitive bidding, how many, in your experience, contractors, specialty contractors, are there available that we could ask for bids for this kind of service?
I haven't got into that much detail yet, Tom, but I do know of one very local company that would be available to offer us a proposal.
That's where you've got your per unit cost or your guesstimation?
I didn't get that detailed with them. I just know what I would do it for if I had a crew of a crew that could install these meters.
And that was, you were expecting, if memory serves, something like $30 a meter or something like $30
or
$40?
Yes.
Were you considering going to a competitive bid for the contracting part of it, or?
It would probably be competitive quotes. The price for the installation would be $44,000, so we wouldn't have to go to a closed sealed bid, formal bidding process. We could do that through competitive quotes.
It would not, you say?
It wouldn't merit that. It's not large enough.
We wouldn't be required to.
I got you. So you're just looking for the best company to with the best record and whatever, you know.
Someone skilled at plumbing and the ability to do it efficiently, I think, would provide us the best quote. It certainly wouldn't just be handed to one contractor. We would have to go out and get competitive quotes.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I think we can move to page 2. This page should go considerably quicker. Under system comparisons, of the 6 systems I evaluated, I think the board knows who I recommend. They would be the most cost-effective and applicable for our use. I do believe the other systems are targeting larger water systems, would be more expensive, and quite frankly, I know of the high-priced one, they wouldn't likely even bid on our project, because that was my experience at my previous with my previous employer. They did not show any interest. System A was based on the quote provided for budgeting. That question was already asked. Both System A and System B that I used, I requested quotes for AMI systems at that time. I was able to get costs for AMR while I was doing that, but they are not set in stone, which is why I didn't provide another 20-year cost-benefit analysis for that at this point. I personally looked at the 20-year cost, and I know what it will cost us to go with AMR, and it's going to be significantly less than it will be for manually reading. I mean, to me, it's easy to justify. If at the next board meeting you'd like, I think I could provide some at least specific costs for the city of Tigard meter costs associated with doing this, and I'd be happy to compare it side by side with reading meters manually like we are. We can save money that way. Purchasing options. We've sort of touched on that, but there's really three primary means for us to go out and purchase water meters, radio read water meters. The first would that would that sort of exposed us, that was exposed to us and was made readily available was the intergovernmental purchasing agreement through the city of Tigard. In 2018, they executed a contract that required them to extend identical prices and services to all public agencies within the region. That is very promising, and it's something I'm looking into. It doesn't exclude us from other public notice requirements. It's going to be an extensive process for us to do, but it would provide us those meters at their costs. Ann?
Is there a time limit on that? On the availability of that purchasing agreement?
They have a five-year contract that started in 2018, so by 2023 that would no longer be available to us.
Okay, thank you. I hadn't seen that part, so appreciate it.
And I'm not certain of it, but I also believe that it would require us to make our purchase within the next 3 years at this point. Rather than their, would they have five to integrate a much larger system? So that was that. We also have the capability of going and request for competitive bids. We could go out for bid for a meter system. We'd provide specifications that would meet our needs, similar to the products that we're interested in purchasing. And go out for competitive bids. If we do that, I think it's going to delay us considerably, and it will also probably cost us more to go with the system that we are currently interested in purchasing. But it may be, you know, it may be a risk we're taking to see if something else would come in for less. And then there's requests for proposals. If we had a product specific to our needs that that we could tie to what we're currently doing, we could go out and request for proposals for reading our meters. But those would be the three procurement approaches that we could take. I recommend that we participate in the intergovernmental purchasing agreement with the city of Tigard. I think that's going to be the most efficient and cost-effective way for us to purchase radio read meters. Of course, it would have to be vetted by legal before we'd ever proceed down that path. Tom, did I cut you off? Hello? Hello?
It looks like he's still there somewhere.
Oh. Yeah, his microphone's mute. Oh, no, that's Tim. I don't see him.
I see a symbol for him, and the microphone is active. So, there he is.
There he is.
I had a network symbol flash up there for some reason. I only had one question. I noticed on the intergovernmental agreement that a public notice would still be required and allow for a competitive or prospective bidders to give a chance. So I think that's a very fair thing to do.
They would be given a chance to comment, but if they that would still require a legal interpretation. But personally, I'm not sure that anyone would. They're going to be able to see what the cost of those Tigard meters already are, so. I don't think they can just come in and undercut that price, but I'd have our attorney review that item and determine that for sure.
Okay.
But they may be able to offer different proposals. but they can certainly comment, and if their comments merited us having to go out for bid, I think we would do that. Does that make more sense?
I think that's fair.
I think that would be the approach. If we knew there was a competitor out there that felt that they were going to beat that price, we would want to hear that. We'd want to see that. Anne?
So two questions. One, you following up on this comment you just made, if we knew there was a competitor out there that was going to be bidding, one question is, how would we know that if we were going into a process to use this intergovernmental purchasing agreement? How would we know that there was anybody else out there? Because we haven't advertised the job in the Business Journal as a competitive process. But the
only way we would know was that City of Tigard did all of their bidding requirements.
No, my question is, how would any other competitor know to contact us to say we could do better than Tigard?
We would have to notify
for bids and.
I believe that the public notice would not only would it be publicized in government sites, it would also be a notice from us to them that, you know, we're proceeding down this path. Would you be interested in making any comments in regards to that purchase?
So the public notice would address that.
Yeah.
So, and then my other question had to do with, if I understood you correctly, when you commented on the request for proposals, and I was really going to try to remember what you said there, but it sounded like the request for proposals was more a focus on the radio part or the reading part or something like that. It wasn't, because requests for proposals and requests for competitive bids are two different things.
We've gotten
two different ORSs there.
I'll explain better this time, Anne. The request for proposal would be used, like, for example, we currently have Mueller's water meters in our system. So one could argue that we don't want to change meter companies because, say we only wanted to replace half of our meters. If we only replaced half of our meters, we might want the same system. We don't want to have a mix of different meters, which large cities often do in your system. So that would merit us probably good justification to go out for a proposal for a system that would mesh with our existing system. So your volume's off, Anne.
For company number A.
Yes. It just so happens company number A. Oh, sorry, did I say do it again? Yeah. We just happen to have company A meters in them. I think there's, look, I got one right here. I pulled this out of the back for Tom. Can you see it?
Yes.
That's company A. And the reason I had that in here, Tom, is I wanted to see what it weighed. It weighs 2.5 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah, more than I thought.
That's $5.
Yeah. Times 1,000.
So the request for proposal then would be for company A, because we're already doing business with them, and requests for competitive bids would be throwing it open on a different platform?
When you go up for a request for bids, there you could get a variety of different solutions, and there are going to be different prices, and I believe you have somewhat limited scoring structures that you have to follow, and so you don't always get the system that you want, or it may not come in at the lowest price. Whereas request for proposals, you can more establish a rating system in which, okay, it may not be System A's water reading radios, but it can, you know, it's compatible with it. And so that very well might be something that you would consider. So, yeah. Carol?
Are we specific enough of how we go out for our bids that we want this, 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 and this, and that's what they bid on?
Well, and a lot of times, yeah, if your specifications are such that if they're very specific, you can limit who's going to submit a bid. But if someone submits a bid that doesn't meet those specs, then you have to put a lot of effort into explaining why they're not considered equivalents. And purchasing agents deal with that all the time. So that, but that's one of the challenges with going out for bid. Carolyn?
Yeah, if just to make sure I'm understanding this in a couple of different levels. Because the intergovernmental purchasing agreement exists, you're able to give us a closer to realistic quote on option A because that agreement is already in place. If PCJWSA chose not to use that option, and that option is still not a go for us because we're in the middle of a legal review of whether everything has been done according to statute to make sure that we could use it. But if option A was not available, we would need to go out for competitive bid. And in going out for competitive bid, we would expect that the price or the cost of option A would rise because that's not in, it's not laid down. They're starting new again. We're starting new again, and we would expect them to be higher. At this point in time, because of what we have in our system, we probably would not qualify for going out for a request for a proposal for AMR.
Correct.
So there's three different ones there, and they all build and have different flavors or varieties with them. And it appears at this point that given the content of the intergovernmental agreement, the process that they used, the reputation of the company that they chose, and the cost looks most cost effective for what it is we want to do at this point in time. We've still got some unanswered questions there, but that would get us into the AMR system at this point if everything was a go. And we would choose to use that because the cost is appears to be less. However, part of the process with the intergovernmental agreement means that we do have to do public notice and other bidders have a chance to comment. We have to go through that part as part of the ORS using the intergovernmental purchasing agreement. Okay, so I got it. Great.
Thank you, Carolyn. That's exactly right. And before I call on you, Ann, I want to make one comment too. One thing that we probably won't benefit from, like the city of Tigard would have when they bid it, was the volume discount. Being small, they're not going to provide us the pricing they would provide a large city like Tigard. Ann?
Okay, that just threw a wrench in my thinking, because I thought the whole purpose of the agreement was that we got the same price as Tigard. So, but I get that they're a lot bigger than we are and that now I'll start to process the concept that we wouldn't get the actual dollar price.
Let me correct. No. If we go out for bid, we won't get that dollar price.
Oh, okay.
If we enter into the intergovernmental purchasing agreement, we will get that price.
Okay, that's what I was thinking all along, and then I got thinking, oh, I'm down the wrong rabbit hole.
Yeah.
So, okay, I'll take all that back.
Okay.
The other question I had was, as you and perhaps Carolyn, the two of you, I don't know, have conversations about all of this prior to the next board meeting, I I'm going to assume that there's going to be some very close consultation with our attorneys on these details. I think that there are a lot of I's to be dotted and a lot of T's to be crossed here. I don't know, in terms of making a decision in October. So I'm kind of feeling that way myself. I don't know, it has happened on occasion that we invited legal counsel to join us for a discussion during a board meeting. So I'll just remind us all that has happened before. If we feel the need, I personally would be comfortable with you and Carolyn making that decision. But I think there's going to be a lot of information of a legal nature that we're going to want to get the final details to before we can decide to proceed. That's my own personal feeling.
All right. I can add that I have discussed this with our legal counsel, and he feels that the intergovernmental purchasing agreement is doable, and we would fall under we would be able to meet the requirements, but there are certain things that have to be in place before he could bless that. So I think that's, Carolyn touched on it. There's still a certain amount of work that still has to be done. I've seen a lot change since I started getting into the details of this purchase. And as Carolyn knows, there were a couple times when I really didn't feel the intergovernmental purchasing agreement was the way I wanted to go. But as long as I can suffice with the products that Tigard has approved, then it makes perfect sense to me. I need to do a little more research to make sure that even I am comfortable with that. But what I do know is if we go out for a public bid, we're going to delay things by a lot. I'm in no big hurry, but I think we're also going to drive the cost way up, and which is why I don't think I would much rather justify the intergovernmental purchasing agreement. But we're not there yet, but I think we could be pretty darn close by the October board meeting. I wouldn't be surprised if it's something that would have to be extended to November as well before a final determination. But
so that's kind of like what my question is, what is your timeline looking at? When are we going to get this process going? I mean, when are we going to get the project going and the inner bid stuff? Before the first of the year?
First of the year is a good good goal. And we're really also trying to make sure that we get this accomplished during the current budget cycle, because we did budget $430,000 for this. And as we're starting to recognize it, it takes a little bit of time to go through the purchasing requirements and get through all of that, and then get them purchased, get them ordered, and get them installed. So there's quite a few steps. So yeah, if we go out for bid, that's going to push it all out at least a couple of months.
I'd sure like to get this thing rolling. I really would.
We'll bring it up at the October meeting and debate it at that point and decide how we're going to deal with it.
That sounds good.
A couple of months isn't too bad when you consider replacing Horn Creek water treatment plant or the wastewater treatment plant. That was years, so.
Was it? And I can only imagine. And one thing, you know, I've noticed is sometimes small projects, when you have to go out for bid, the public notice can be just as much for a small project as a large project. But the consequences aren't near as great.
Thank you for all your work on this, Kurt.
You're welcome.
I really appreciate it.
I would like to reassure the board, too, that the one thing I am totally comfortable with is the cost for the AMR installation will save us money. It's the right thing to do over manually reading. And the harder step to determine is going to be going from AMR to AMI, because it's very cost effective to read meters by driving by.
It'll be a transitional period.
Yes. And Tom, I think I saw you waving before I released the meeting back to our board chair.
Oh, Michelle.
Oh, was it Michelle? Oh, she is waving bye. Okay. Michelle, you moved to the middle. You were sitting on the left by Tom when I last saw you. Okay. Carolyn, bail me out, would you please?
Are there any final questions?
No, let's get this ball rolling.
Now, just appreciate all of Kirk's work on this and anyone else in the staff that was involved.
Yes, thank you so much. So
that's why we hired him.
Appreciate you taking the time, the presentation, and the board's participation, and I will adjourn the meeting at 6:10, and we'll see you all at the board meeting in 2 weeks. Thank you so much. Okay. Good night.
Thanks, everyone.
Good night, everybody. Good night. Good night. Bye-bye.